Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Candidly Keisha.
Keisha Knight-Pulliam has grown up on TV, playing characters on shows like The Cosby Show to Tyler Perry's House of Pain.
They know Rudy. They know Miranda. I've been in the business literally for 36 years.
Keisha's an actress, philanthropist, foodie, and now host of her own podcast.
This is an opportunity for you, my friends, my fans, to get to know me, just Keisha.
This is Candidly Keisha.
Welcome to Candidly Keisha. It is Friday. Yay! I'm so excited. I love Fridays, as y'all know. And they keep coming faster and faster as you get older. So we are here today. I have Arian in the studio. She was here last week, and we're getting ready for this Fearless Conference. So we are going to do a Fearless Friday segment today, and we have a special guest, Dominique Broadway, who's a financial advisor, calling in shortly. But until then, we are going to chop it up and just enjoy the day. It was funny, though, because I was trying to decide what to do for Candidly Keisha today. And I've been traveling. My line sister and one of my closest girlfriends is having a baby. So I was in Kansas, Ella and I, to celebrate her and baby Bo, who will be here.
What? Ella. You got a beau?
Yes.
Did you say your line sister's having a beau?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we have a phone call real quick.
Well, probably so. My best friend Jada's baby's name is Beau, and
really?
It's coming September.
Okay.
And the shower's...
Hold on one second. Welcome to Candidly Keisha. Who do I have on the phone?
Gary Rawls Jr.
What?
My name is Gary Rawls Jr.
Oh, Gary. Hi, Gary. How are you today?
How you doing?
I'm good. So it's funny, I was trying to decide what to do for Candidly Keisha today, and over the weekend, someone was like, well, you should have a Fan Friday, where people can call in and ask questions. So I said, let's do it. So how are you today? You have a question?
I probably could have did the same thing you were doing on TV, or how you had got into TV,
How did I first get into TV? When I was 9 months old, actually, I started with commercials and and then I did a feature film and did television shows. So I've literally been doing it my whole life. I think
yeah,
it's just...
I've been seeing you in a magazine. I hadn't seen you for a long time. I see you in a magazine. And I don't know. I had been seeing you. I seen the... You was dating some dude, and he stopped talking to you after you got pregnant, right?
Yeah, you know, stuff happens, life happens, but that's not what we're here to talk about. But thank you for calling.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, have a great day.
Okay, you know, live on Facebook. Y'all, I'm so sorry, and I know y'all heard that. You know, I'm live.
I know.
On Facebook.
You know, when you open the line,
yes,
to fans,
we open to the public. You never know what you're gonna get.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Oh, Lord,
you just kind of have to manage it and keep it moving, and
yes.
You know. So someone yes. said, let's do a fan. Maybe I should give more direction. Okay, so we are gonna take some callers. It was funny. I was. Over the weekend, and someone was like, you should do a Fan Friday. And I was like, okay, you know, that sounds like a good idea. We should definitely do that. And we've done it before when people have had the ability to call in. So maybe we should give a little direction to, because hold on, Ella Bella, are you licking the table? Oh, Lord, my child. She's going to have a great immune system. I swear. I just looked down, and her whole face was licking the whole table. Okay. Oh, man, this is one of those Fridays. What can I say? But anyway, so how was your weekend until we have some call-ins? Because soon we are starting our Fearless Friday segment this week.
Whoop.
And we have Dominique Broadway, who will be calling in shortly. And she's in finance, correct, Arian?
That is correct. She's a financial advisor. We had the luxury last year and the honor of being on a GM tour together, and she is phenomenal.
Well, we can't wait to hear from Dominique Broadway. She is actually taking time out of her schedule. She is in Mexico.
Yes.
Is she on vacay?
Workay.
Okay. I like workay. You have to put a little vacay in the work, okay? I feel like it's very important. But anyway, so how was your weekend, since we're talking about our weekends?
My weekend was absolutely wonderful. My weekend was wonderful. It was hot. But I had a great time. I was at Kelly's visiting her kids, my nephews. We had a good time.
Yeah, Ella, she's such a water baby.
Oh, I love it.
We were swimming. We went to my line sister's baby shower. I can't wait to welcome baby Bo. He will be here very soon.
Are they spelling it B-A-U? B-E-A-U?
B-A-E-U, I think. Is it
B-E-A? Yeah, B-E-A-U.
Yeah, that way, B-E-A-U.
Okay, that's how Jada's spelling hers, too. That is so crazy.
Are you excited today, Ella? Would you like to talk about something?
And they're both Deltas having a bow. Like,
yes.
That's so crazy.
So, it was an amazing time out at the Compton compound. They have zebras and all types of stuff.
What?
Have you ever seen a Great Dane in person? I am.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yes, I have.
I'm in love with Great Danes right now. They had two huge Great Danes.
Okay, but just don't bring them in public places. Let me tell you what's going on at the, I'm serious, at the Home Depot over in Vinings. They're allowed to bring their dogs in there.
Yeah.
No. All the other ones restrict them. So I'm walking around the store. This happened this weekend, so we're talking about what happened this weekend. Uh-huh. I know, Ella Grace. And I just started seeing dogs. And see, the first person, I didn't want to say anything because I said, I don't know if they were disabled, if they were blind. But then that little boy started pointing out every color and everything going on. I said, no, he can see clearly. So let me not say anything about this dog. So then I turned around, I saw another dog. So then I asked the lady, is that a caller?
Oh, yes, that
it's
is
probably
a Dominique. Caller.
I'll resume the dog story later because it's definitely interesting.
Welcome to Candidly Keisha.
Hey, it's Dominique Broadway. How are you?
Hi, Dominique. Welcome. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. I'm actually in Mexico right now, but definitely excited to be joining in.
Well, yay. Thank you. We are doing a segment called a Fearless Friday segment in anticipation of the Fearless Reloaded conference that's happening in November. And I know you'll be speaking there. So tell me
I cannot wait.
Tell me a little bit about what people will have to look forward to during your presentation.
Yeah, so the presentation is going to be really fun and exciting. So essentially, you know, when I do these talks, it's, you know, really about making the topic of money something that's fun, sexy, exciting, and really understanding that money it should be used as a tool so you can live the life that you want on your own terms. So we're going to be going over everything from, you know, setting financial goals, because that's something that people do, but they don't do. So they'll kind of say they have a financial goal, but never actually write it down and set it. And so they're in the same financial situation year after year. But also setting goals, saving, budgeting. We're going to talk a little bit about investing as well. So it's going to be really just thinking about how you can use your money to start living life, you know, on your own terms.
Nice. Tell me about your background. So how did you get into finance? Because I feel like, you know, going to this is Ella Grace is asking questions too. My daughter's in the building.
Yeah.
But, you know, so often people think of finance as like, just being honest, like a white man's world. And, you know, so how did you get into it or become interested in the whole financial space?
Yeah, so for me, you know, obviously working in that space, that's really what I saw. It was more of a, you know, kind of, as they say, an old white man's job or field.
Right.
But before that, you know, my passion really started just by trying to figure out how, you know, kind of the rich were getting richer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got into this, like, at a young age, and I was like, wow, you know, I don't want to have to work super hard for forever, so what can I do so I can start building wealth? And I really started asking my family about it, and, you know, we weren't poor or anything. We were pretty financially comfortable, and they all had 401ks and thrift savings plans. And I was asking them, like, oh, how do you invest in the stock market? And I realized that everyone had these retirement accounts, but no one really knew how they worked. Right. So I started just researching and really realized that it was really two ways that people were getting super wealthy. It was either through real estate or the stock market. So I decided I wanted to be a financial planner. Like when I was like 16 years old and I wanted to be a stockbroker. So I ended up, I went to Blue State University, got my bachelor's in banking and finance, ended up getting an internship at one of the top wealth management companies in the world, and was able to start working with clients that had $10, $20, $30 million in investable assets, which basically means that's how much money they had kind of sitting in their saving or investment accounts just for us to
play with.
Do the wealth management. really play with. It's crazy. It's like literally, it seems like, wow.
Let me just give you this $30 million. Go on and play with it. Let me see what you can do.
Exactly. We would have clients that would lose $1 million in a day. They're like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like $1 million, that's a lot. But essentially, you know, after getting to that space, and like you said, it was all, you know, Caucasian males. I mean, but it was really more of a kind of Caucasian dominated industry. And I was the only really black girl there. And after being there for so long and being there for maybe 5-6 years and doing the stock being a stockbroker, and being one of the only people that looked like me in the office, and my friends coming to me asking me for financial advice. Because after a while, they were like, well, what are you doing differently than what we're doing? Because I bought my first house at 22. I always had tons of money saved, and I was always traveling. They're like, okay, we moved from our dorms to our parents' house. So what were you doing hanging out in the same places? And so I realized I had a lot more financial knowledge than everyone else had. So that's pretty much how I got started and decided, really just quit my job one day and was like, look, I'm going to really focus the rest of my life on providing financial advice to people that typically would not be allowed to come to these firms because mm-hmm. they don't have at least $1 million to become a client. And so that's really how my passion got started and how I'm really doing what I'm doing now.
So what was that transition like going from corporate America to now running your own business?
Ooh, it was interesting. it was fun. It was exciting. Like, I'm an Aquarius. I'm a, you know, super entrepreneur. I've had my, you know, got my first company when I was like 7 years old. And so I've always been an entrepreneur, but doing it, you know, as an adult, doing it full time, it was exciting. It was exciting because everyone loved what I was doing. I got tons of immediate like press and things like that. But it was really hard on me financially because I was so focused on helping everybody that I started my company really in a week. And it kind of just took off, but I didn't have good pricing set. I didn't have processes and systems in place. And so it got to a point where I actually ended up going broke because I was helping everyone, but the dollars didn't make sense. And so I had to like literally take a step back and where I got to the point where I'm literally about to lose everything. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. This is not a passion project. This is my career. Mm-hmm. And I had to like completely shift, refocus my pricing and restructure my business, and then I was able to really start to thrive more. But that initial transition was fun, exciting, and hard as hell at the same time.
You know, you said something that's really important.
But I also
that's a really important life lesson too. You know, mm-hmm. so often people forget that you can't pour from an empty cup, and mm-hmm. that you have to. You know, and it's not selfish, it's not uh-uh. greedy, it's not any of those things to make sure that you are pouring into you so that you can give. And
exactly.
you said
and
that, you know, your business model wasn't right and you fixed it, but you learned that lesson.
Yeah, it was major. And I was just really like everyone that needed help is just like, okay, I'll help you with your finances. And like, okay, you have $50, you have $100, whatever. That is not a sustainable business model. And so, you know, especially women, we're the kind of women are natural, you know, naturally nurturers. We want mm-hmm. to give, we want to help, but it was to my own deficit. Like you said, you can't give from an empty cup. And so that made the transition very difficult, but then I was able to learn from that. And also I was able to have my own financial setback that actually educated me even further on
right.
personal finance. So I know how to manage things when you get behind on certain bills, and I know how to also, you know, manage a $5 million portfolio. So now I have a wider range of experience there.
And, you know,
so I think it was all God's, you know, lessons for me.
And
I really feel that
and
way.
It's really important what you said, because a lot of times people don't realize money comes and money goes. You know, how you
oh, yeah.
said you're managing these $1 million portfolios, and then sometimes people will lose $1 million in a day.
You know, mm-hmm. the difference between, you know, you have to understand that you have to keep going, and that just because this is your today doesn't mean it's your tomorrow. And you have
exactly,
to.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong with money. It's like, oh, I have money now, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, especially when when people start saying YOLO, you know, you only live once. I was like, that does not apply to your finances. Like, you don't want to spend all of your money tomorrow, because there is next week, and your mortgage has to be paid next month, or your rent, or whatever.
That is so funny.
I totally agree with that.
What were you going to say, Irene?
Oh, one thing I love that you pointed out when you said that women are nurturers. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. Clearly, you're nurturing. I think it's so
important. I'm sitting here breastfeeding. That's what she's looking at. She's making jokes right now.
But I think
literally,
but I think it's so important, because so often in business, women make decisions that are emotional and they're not business. Yes. Like, you were caught up in, like, oh my gosh, I just want to help you. And then you had to step back and say, wait a minute. This is not a good business model. Like, this is not doing business. This is me leading with my emotions and not my mind. And I think it's so important as women, when we make business decisions, that they're truly factual based and not emotionally based.
Yeah, that's very important. It's funny. Me and my line sister, Mika, were having this conversation earlier today. We were, you know, just discussing some different. yes, Ella. We were discussing some different business just ventures and opportunities coming up, and things that we possibly wanted to invest in, and, you know, just the importance of approaching business from a very, you know, does it make sense way versus an emotional way. And that's a really good point. You have to. I feel like it's also still important to follow your gut in business.
Oh yeah,
intuition. It's not saying not to follow your instincts or your intuition, but it's just another layer onto that.
So yeah, I agree. I mean, I think even when I started my business, like, if I didn't follow my gut or what I felt like God was calling me to do, I wouldn't have started it, because everyone was just like, "You have a great job. Like, you're 25. You know, you're doing everything you want to do. You're living your best life." Better than most people who are double your age, why would you want to leave this comfortable position? And so it didn't make sense from the outside. Because, and my mentor told me, you're never going to make money helping people that don't have money.
Can I tell you?
And I was like, that's not the case. Like, they need help too. Because, you know, as typical financial advisors, they're going only after the high net worth clients. It's like, if you don't have $1 million or even $500,000, they don't want to talk to you. And so I remember him telling me that. So I am very happy that I've made a living kind of doing so.
And something else that you said, in terms of, you have to take risks, and mm-hmm. you took the risk and you invested and bet on yourself. And a lot of people don't realize that that's the difference between, living a comfortable life with a 401k mm-hmm. and, you know, with a nice house and a dog and 2.5 kids and a fence. But, you know, if you're going to really kind of propel yourself into that other stratosphere of wealth and of business, it does require some risk.
Yes, a lot of risk. And also, too, I think another point that I often want to make is that everyone is not meant to be an entrepreneur. I think being an entrepreneur is something that's sexy right now, and it is not meant for everybody. Like, it's not. And
it's not
being
for the faint of heart.
You are a salesperson. Like, I am a salesperson, but I just have a fancy title of CEO/entrepreneur, whatever, right? But at the end of the day, I am a salesperson, because if we're not selling, we're failing. If we're not making money in our business, we are failing. And salespeople are something that's typically a frowned upon career. But I see a lot of entrepreneurs are like, oh, I have this pretty website, but no one's coming. So I'm like, you're not selling. No one knows you're there. Like, it's not going to work. And so, you know, and so I think that's also important for some people to realize, like, not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. It's not meant for everyone.
Dominique, quick question. How old are you now?
Mm-hmm. I'm 32 now.
I wanted them to know that, so that they understood that this journey was just not overnight. Like you said, you made the decision at 25.
No.
Now you're 32. So I wanted them to know that.
Mean, it's been a journey. And I was probably closer to 26, 27 when I, like, actually quit and went full time. And when I quit, I just quit. I didn't, like, have a business in place. Because as a stockbroker, you can't have outside businesses. Versus, you know, some people are able to kind of work at their job and then, you know, slowly transition out. But no, this has been a long journey. There's no such thing as an overnight success. I feel like I'm probably more comfortable now than I've ever been. But I'm still actually in the process of pivoting and restructuring things in my business, because I run, I, you know, want to change things up. So It's an ongoing journey, but I actually enjoy the journey. That's what I enjoy the most.
I love it.
And it has definitely just taken off by storm. How many speaking engagements did you have last year paid?
Last year, it was about 48 speaking engagements.
Damn, homie.
Yeah, which was insane. And it was like, you know how you do your end of year review, just kind of counting and looking back and see, you know, sales, how did we do, everything. And I counted up all the speaking engagements. I was like, how in the world did I do that many? Like, it's,
right.
I mean, it was like a lot of times, you know, 3 to 4 a week. And, you know, my travel schedule was really busy, but I didn't realize that speaking was going to be one of my favorite things that I do and also such a large revenue source of my business. So I think another thing for, as entrepreneurs, you have to be open to pivoting and open to other ways to diversify your income.
You have to be open to diversifying your income and capitalizing off the opportunities that God, the universe, brings to you and presents to you. Because so often people turn down opportunities because their tunnel vision is so narrow that they're not realizing that it's kind of like, you know, that old joke where it's like, you know, the rain is coming and the guy's like, no, God is going to save me. And then, you know, the guy, they're like, we're evacuating. Come, let's
go. And then
the boat comes by. No, God is going to save me. Then the water's up to the roof. Then the helicopter comes by. No, God is going to save me. Then the guy dies, right? And then he gets to heaven. He looks at God. He's like, God, why didn't you save me? God is like, look, I sent the damn people on foot. I sent the boat. I sent the helicopter.
And they don't, all these things. You didn't get the note.
Right. Like, you didn't get the memo. I tried. You have to do your part, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that part. And I also
and that's really big what you said is that, you know, you have to do your part, too. And sometimes people are like, oh, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. He is going to do stuff, but you have to meet him halfway. Like, you're not going to...
He can open the door, but you still got to walk through it.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I also really like that she said, yes, it was... finance was your interest in building finance and building wealth, and you bought your home. But I love the fact that you said you were also traveling and you were doing things that you love, because I feel like so often people, you know, there has to be a fine line because you can't take all this with you. So what is the value of it if you're also not enjoying it and enjoying yourself and enjoying the people that you love? So with all that being said, where does family and friendship and all of that come into play with being so busy?
You know, that stuff, family and friendship, all that stuff is extremely important to me, if not more important than my business. So even like right now, I'm in Mexico, but I'm on a family trip, like with my mom and my sister. So it's just a girl's trip. We came here for a week. It wasn't the best timing for me business-wise, to be honest, with everything I have going on. My mom really wanted to go. And it's like, okay, I can bring my computer. I can work when I can, but I'm not going to be like the person that's in the room working the whole time.
Right.
And even making sure I'm taking advantage of spending time with my friends and like, sometimes with my schedule, I mean, you guys probably can relate to this too. We have to schedule stuff. Like, we send calendar invites for happy hours and brunches because our schedules will get busy. And so it's like, I know that, you know, this Tuesday at 6 p.m., we're all going to the screening of Girls Night. It's on my schedule. Nothing else will get scheduled into it. It's my friends, you know. So things like that. Just making it a priority. Like, that type of stuff is a priority for me.
Making it a priority, because so often people make everything else in their life a priority and don't realize that the downtime, the friend time, the family time is where you recharge in order to be able to show up. Again, it's filling your cup so that you can pour into. And it's so, so very important.
Yeah. I mean, because I think we all meet people all the time and who are... You know, I remember I've just met women who are like, you know, 50 years old. They've never been married, never had kids, never don't really have any friends because all they did was focus on their career. And like I said, not everyone necessarily has to get married. Not everyone necessarily has to have kids. But you want to have those relationships, and they look up and they're wealthy, but they're lonely. That's a fear of mine. I'm like, I don't want to be that way.
Well, don't let it lead as a fear. You know, just allow it to empower you and to push you and to living what you truly desire versus leading, because you can manifest fears just even faster than you can what you desire. So don't put that out in the universe. You don't need them problems. but I don't want to take too much time because I know you're enjoying family.
And I know you have to get on the shadow. And last time I talked to her, she was in Venezuela.
Nice. I love it. I love it. And of course, if you guys want to hear more, Arianne, tell them how they can
come. Oh, yes. Definitely come to the conference. It's November 18th at the W Midtown Atlanta. Check out the information at fearlessreloaded.eventbrite.com. Again, fearlessreloaded.eventbrite.com. You can catch more of Dominique Broadway there.
Yay.
Yes, well,
Dominique,
can't wait.
Thank you, thank you. And how can people contact you, your business, and get more information about, you know, how they can invest their coins, their pennies?
Yes, yes. So definitely go to the website, DominiqueBroadway.com. I probably spend most of my time on Instagram as far as social media goes, and it's just Dominique Broadway. So those are the two main places to find me.
Can you spell it? Because, you know, everyone doesn't do that very well.
Yes.
Thank you.
DominiqueQue, and the last name is Broadway, BROADWAY, just like the musical.
Broadway was like the musical. We had a little dial in the middle of that. Well, Dominique, I can't wait to see you. I will be at the conference as well.
And yay, I can't wait to meet you.
I know. Enjoy. And we're going to take a quick break right here at Candidly Keisha, but we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Candidly Keisha.
We are back at Candidly Keisha. That was such an amazing little segment with Dominique. I'm so excited to... What are you asking me? I'm so excited to have the opportunity to sit on the panel with all these amazing, amazing women. So we're back. Arianne's in the studio. Arianne is working her social media. I need to take, I don't know how she does this. I need to take notes because I'm not that good at it. I'm just so busy living life that I forget to pick up my phone in Instagram or Facebook Live or all of this stuff. But... So
yes, multitask queen, and it is Keisha's Fan Friday.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any questions you want to ask, call in to 404-832-2963. That's what I was trying to tell y'all.
Yeah, she's on Facebook Live as we speak, like holding the piece of paper. I don't really know how she does all this. It's kind of cray. But you know, it's always so funny. I have a funny, you know, fan story since we're talking about fan stuff. This weekend, I was at my friend's home for the baby shower. And, you know, I'm very private about Ella, and my friend's husband, he has a daughter. He has children from his previous marriage. And, you know, she has a daughter from a previous relationship. So it's an amazing blended family. And his daughter, Lily, just graduated from high school. And I think I'd put up a post, like, you know, congratulating, like, with my girlfriends. Because, you know, it's amazing. I've had girlfriends from college for the past 20 years. And, you know, now we're celebrating and our children are playing together. I'm like, that was like a real old lady moment right there. I'm like, oh, my God. So I posted something. And, you know, I'd met Lily and everything. She's like 18. You know, 18-year-olds are in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
Then she looked at me. I'm standing in the kitchen because I made dinner for them the last night before I left, you know, kind of as a thank you. But also they just always love whenever I come.
When you cook.
They're like, look.
Are you cooking?
You cooking? So I'm making dinner and she comes in the kitchen and she goes, okay, wait. So who are you? Because I looked on Instagram and not only are you verified, but you have over a million followers. I looked at her and I just kind of laughed. She was like, so what exactly do you do? And so I was like, well, a lot of things, but among them, I'm an actress. So then she kind of like went and, you know, sat. She said, because I heard you say not to take pictures of the baby, but I didn't know what that was about. But then I saw your Instagram. And so then I laughed and then Doug and Leslie came and I said, so guys, Lily asked me, you know, what it is that I do. And I think it was Doug or Leslie was like, well, you know, Keisha was, she's like, no, you weren't on the Cosby Show.
Oh my gosh.
Show. And so then she starts, I just see her furiously on her phone. Then she looks up. She's like, oh, my God, this is you. And, like, shows me a picture of myself. It was
that
the funniest thing ever. Because she didn't, you know, she
Yeah, different generation.
Different generation.
That's, yeah.
But I thought it was funny because, yeah. So it happened.
Oh, you know, she's about to tell all her friends.
Right. She was in my kitchen cooking some fried chicken. So, yes, they'd requested my famous fried chicken.
Oh, so, I know. They had a blast.
It was pretty yummy.
And indulged.
It was pretty yummy. But so what happened on this dog story? Let's jump. I know we've jumped around a lot this show. It's a lot going on today. you know, when you do these impromptu shows, you as you can see, you never quite know what you're going to get in the call-in. Mm-mm. So we took our call-in. I think we're going to take a leave of absence from call-ins this week. We'll start again next week and see how that goes. So, Arian, you're in Home Depot, and you start seeing dogs.
Okay, yeah. So I get to Home Depot, and the first dog I see, I'm like, whoa. Because these are not, you know, how when you're in L.A., and we both have, you know, have been in L.A. for long durations.
Oh, Kunta, he trots through like, Kunta, I'm supposed to be here. What do you mean?
That's a small dog. So we're used to seeing the small dogs, the little cute dogs in the purses, the whole Paris Hilton thing going on. Well, this dog is big. It's a German Shepherd, because I grew up with German Shepherds. I'm like, okay, why is this German Shepherd in Home Depot just walking around?
Was it on a leash? Did it have an owner?
Yes,
he had his own cart.
On a leash, yes. But see, I thought that, I said, let me not say nothing. I said, this boy could be blind or disabled. So when he started pointing out everything on the shelves and started talking about the colors, I said, well, he's not blind or disabled. Why is this dog in here? So then I turned around.
Who did you get, Arian?
Huh?
Who did you go get? I didn't
go get the person just yet. Okay. So I did go get somebody.
I know you did.
So the next thing you know, I saw another dog. It's a St. Bernard.
Whoa.
Exactly.
I have the little barrel around.
I've had one of those too. So I said, now, wait a minute.
Did you say, what was that? Belle, what was that? Remember that movie about the Saint? What was it? About the Saint Bernard.
Yes,
what
I remember.
What was it called?
Belvedere. No, it's not Belvedere. It's
Beethoven.
Thank you, because my baby was Beethoven's baby.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. I named her Brandy Alizé. Do not ask.
Jenkins was the last name, Jenkins, but go ahead.
So, yes, Beethoven was bred up in Upper Michigan. So I got one of Beethoven's babies either way. So I recognize that this is a St. Bernard, clearly, in Home Depot.
So did they do DNA tests to prove that it was Beethoven's baby?
No, Beethoven was up there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, you never know. You know who the mama is. I'm joking.
So, yes, then I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, this is another big dog in Home Depot. Why is it walking around? So then when I saw the third dog, that's when I went to go get somebody. I said, you know, ma'am, I have a question. Why are all these dogs in here? I said, this store is for humans. I'm getting a little concerned. And she says to me, she said, well, our Home Depot is dog friendly. Melvin, no, this has got
Wait,
to stop.
You have to tell
yes,
the story.
Yes, I am telling the story. Okay, I'm focused. So the lady says, I don't agree with it either. I said, well, what's going on? She said, actually, I'm allergic. And I said, well, that's interesting. We have employees that are allergic, but Home Depot is allowing this. And she goes on to say,
you're allergic to pollen, too. And Home Depot got a whole bunch of pollen around there. So just stop. But sorry, take a Allegra.
So then she says, the neighborhood... She says rich. I said, this neighborhood's not rich. I said, I guess you say affluent or something. She's like, that's why it's permitted. I said, are you serious? I said, so you're telling me in a neighborhood where the you know, the level of income may be a little less, the dogs are not allowed? I was like, this thing needs to stop. Oh, either the dogs can come in or they're not coming in. I said, either or. I said, and I vote for them to leave. I said, because this is a bit much. So every time I turned around, there were dogs, literally.
Wait, which Home Depot is this?
Right on Cumberland Parkway.
Me and Kunta are coming to Home Depot on Cumberland Parkway.
Well, you will join the dog fest. Because I'm telling you, when they say Saturday morning, that's when it starts. They're like, I'm telling you, I looked around and everybody had a dog with them. And I was like, this is getting kind of weird.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I like dog-friendly places, personally. They make me happy. I take Kunta even places really that aren't all the way dog friendly. He hops under the stroller and he peeks out.
I'm for puppy-friendly places.
Okay. You know, puppies do become dogs, like big dogs.
But puppy, yes.
Okay, so you just want them when they're little and they pee on everything.
Just little and trained. Little and trained. But to turn around, and you see a big dog behind you, it was just, it is a bit much.
Okay, well, this has been Candidly Keisha. I don't quite know what to say about the show. I hope you have enjoyed it. You've learned about money. You've learned about dogs. And you, I don't know what the other you've learned. I don't know. It's a lot going on today. But I've enjoyed myself.
Yes. We're having a good time.
You know what we're going to have to do? Before, when I was pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, before I was pregnant, we used to do like happy hour Fridays. And I was pregnant for frickin' forever, which everyone was so kind to remind me how long I was pregnant. I feel like we need a happy hour Friday next Friday.
Yes.
That will be so much fun.
Do we toast?
We have cocktails.
Yay.
Absolutely. So this is Candidly Keisha. Enjoy your weekend. We will be right back right here next Friday with drinks. Yay. Thanks, Arian.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.